The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as 4 event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the Chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. Our coterie were separated, but are meeting up now to find Dedric Jans. Iris used Emily's contacts to locate Dedric. Ridley confessed to Iris that he can't read, and Everett escaped a police car when it was attacked by a menacing stranger. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
After giving the aforementioned 5-star ranking and an unreasonably large tip to the driver of the lime green Toyota Corolla, whose name, of course, was Layla von Sydow. He says, crossing a name off his list. Gave her 5 stars, gave her some money, and off she went, never to speak of the weird lover's spat she thought maybe a cool poly couple was having in the back seat with one of their lovers. She wasn't really sure what was going on, but $150 is a pretty good reason to keep your mouth shut. And she did. No exciting side story in the expanded universe for her. But after waiting a few minutes, a panting Everett comes sort of like stumbling out of the bushes. Everett, do you think you would have at some point like flagged a cab or tried to steal another car or taken the bus? Or do you think you're panicked enough that you just ran?
It would have depended on how, like, looking at this, their destination, how far away I was.
The cop car actually got you much closer to it. So
assuming the,
For the sake of narrative convenience.
Yeah. How disheveled does a vampire get? Do I like sweat and am I out of breath?
You don't breathe. So no. I think,
Interview with the Vampire Rules, you sweat blood.
Yeah, we're not that intense, largely because this game requires more exertion than that. Because I feel like with Interview with the Vampire, it's kind of like they fuck and then occasionally they fight. Sweat blood. Whereas if that was true in this game, like you guys would just be caught every minute because it's like, oh, it's a little bit hot in here.
Just based on, I don't
Masquerade's
know
over.
Not Ryan, but just based on Ridley's description, I just kind of thought he was just kind of a sweaty guy.
I think he's just sort of dirty, but that was how it would be read. Like, I think that also be like becomes part of how he like
Hoffman sweat.
Yeah, why are you moist?
He buys used clothes that are already stained, so it looks like he's sweating, but that's just what he had.
He's just a wet ass Ridley.
Yeah, he's paler than everybody else. Yeah, war.
Yeah, it's going to be great when this episode comes out.
5 years from now?
It's going to resonate with everyone.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, I'm just here for the references of the 14th of August. Cool. So, so you show up not sweating blood because that would be rough. I think in terms of disheveled, again, admittedly, like, we're on episode, like, 40, whatever, but I think there is still there is also still some extent of just, like, you have the, it's that thing they always talk about with like immortal characters where it's like, yeah, you just ran for a long time. It's also uncomfortable not being out of breath. Like, it doesn't feel great because your body is still used to trying to breathe. So I think instead you're just kind of covered in sticks and broken glass. And I imagine you wiped the blood off your face at some point. Or do you think you would have forgotten that was there?
If I would have been running and realized that that smell is still there.
Yes. Okay, perfect.
And
then yes.
Just the realization like, oh my God, I'm running down the fucking street with blood on my face.
not the best look. Great. So Everett shows up looking a little worse for the wear and kind of rushes up to you. The address that you were given is a cafe. Like one of those weird, like fancy espresso bars that also does cocktails. In Toronto, it's called Boxcar Social. So that, but French, Le Boxcar Social. Okay.
What's social?
Social okay. Du Boxcar.
Good work. You know what? We are now government funded. The government of Canada has to give us money now because we're a fully bilingual show. Great. So what you guys said is the place. It's part of the same restaurant family as the one here. Continuity for Tom's brain. Anyway, so you're across the street from that. Sybil also gave you a description and literally just said, like, very, very light blonde hair, comma, vaguely pompadour, ... You honestly can't miss him. And then a winky face. And then a hard eyes smiley face. And then there was a pause of perhaps a minute and another hard eyes smiley face.
Well, that's Emily's problem.
Okay, I've got two kind of burning questions. One, Everett, what the fuck happened to the baby?
You look at the blood on his like sleeve and
You're covered in blood and you got arrested. Did you eat a fucking baby?
What? No.
Well, we're trying to figure out what your fucking secret is. We thought if you ate babies, that'd be pretty fucking bad.
No, I don't eat babies.
Well, look, don't look at me like that's off the table.
That's not a large leap to go.
That would horrify us. I'd be fucking concerned.
Well, I'm glad to know that that would concern you. Look, I brought the baby back, gave the baby to the parents, and got arrested because I walked up to them with their missing baby.
I thought you were a police police officer. You can put a kid on the ground and go, oh, a baby, and then just walk the fuck away.
I'm not dropping this kid out in the fucking street. Anyway, it's over with. I've got blood all over me.
You put it at the edge of the parking lot, and you just walk by and go, oh, a baby, and then they'll come and get a fucking baby. You don't walk it to them.
Fine. Anything you would like to add, Iris, to that?
This is a very suspicious and unbelievable story because, as Ridley said, you are a cop and you didn't think to just, like, play cop with the baby?
No, I don't have a badge.
Well, I mean, did you tell him your name?
No.
Okay, that's good. Did you give him any information about your profession or any other way they could track you?
Just that I'm a private investigator.
But, wait, you... Oh, that's great. You're not even licensed. Good luck to them with that fucking shit.
I know, I know. Look.
Okay, well, they know what you look
next
like.
Next time I have a stolen baby, that's what I will do, Ridley.
No, we
I'll
told
leave it
you
on the street and say,
don't
oh,
steal
a baby.
Babies. What team no baby?
Steal a baby.
Sorry, man, I'm picking up your accent. God damn it.
Okay, okay, let's we'll on a system, we'll say that you didn't mean to take the baby. It does seem kind of out of character for you. When we meet the weirdo inside, are we going to try to charm him? Do we take him out back and I'll rip his legs off? What do we think is going to work? Because we need to get our information fast.
Look, I'm having a real off night. So you two take the lead on this and I will back up whatever choice we make. I will help however I can.
Well, and do we want to go with the classic we've kind of established? Iris, you say nice things, and if it doesn't work, I'll take him into an alley and break his legs.
Sure.
Does the fact that she looks like Lurline have any... Iris, does that have an impact on your abilities?
We'll see.
And with that, you catch out of the corner of your eye a lone figure emerging from Le Boxcar Social or whatever the fuck. And he is a tall guy. Sylvia got it right. Sylvia. Definitely got it right. He's got a full-on Egon from the cartoon Ghostbusters pompadour of, like, perfectly yellow hair. Even at this distance, you can pick out the glint of heart-shaped glasses that he's wearing. He's about 6'3", broad shoulders. He's wearing a gray sweater with, like, a really weird red collar that looks kind of strange at this distance. And he's doing that walk-in text where it's, like, phone is, like, in front of his face and he's, like, double-thumbing it. So he sort of just steps out of the cafe and begins to walk past sort of the alley next to it. And Ridley, you're vaguely pissed at this because as a professional person who pulls people into alleys, like, that's a good fucking alley to pull someone into. And you're just thinking about how kind of annoying it is that meeting Everett here meant you weren't in position for this. When someone throws a black bag over his head and pulls him into that exact alley, what do you do?
Ridley takes off running. This is perfect. Iris can charm anybody if we fucking rescue them, is all he's thinking.
Great. Iris and Everett, what do you do?
I'll follow Ridley, having seen the same thing, right? So
Yeah.
So I'm right there too, yeah.
Iris, are you keeping pace or are you bringing up the rear?
So I let them run and then I follow, but it's like little itty bitty steps because I'm
I was wondering
it's the drunk, almost like the drunk girl about 6 hours into the night walk, you know, that dance, honey,
like the little fast scramble.
Megan, like, your jacket.
Yeah.
don't go after Megan's.
I was thinking you would either be that or you'd be that lady from the beginning of It Follows who just fucking sprints full tilt in heels. This is much funnier. Also, given the skirt that you've got and the fact that you've got a gun strapped to your inner thigh, I feel like...
There's no sprinting.
No, it's the Barbie leg walk where the legs don't really... They can't move in any direction other than directly in front. That's very funny. Okay, cool. So, obviously, Ridley, you are sprinting. You kind of rush into this alley, and you see a... someone's clearly, like, black bag Dederick. They're dragging him towards a van. The back door is open. And you can see someone waiting inside with a stake and a hammer. And both of these people are dressed in, almost like a Mormon outfit. So, like, short sleeve, button-up shirt. Oh, we'll just say, like, literally, they look like Mormons. They've got little name tags. The van is very innocuous. It's not like an obvious abduction van. But clearly the guy crouched in the back is just like waiting and he's like, hurry up, hurry up. You can hear just kind of, muffled sort of noises of vague distress from under the hood. And you hear a voice say, yeah, okay. But my cell phone though, can we get that? Is that a possible? Okay, all right. Okay, look, I'm coming along. Just can I have that, please? They look up, and it's just like deer in the headlights as you come like sprinting with your fucking grease hair jacket, just a fucking weird cannonball man running into the alley. What do you do?
He would like to, if he can, sprint forwards, leap, and then try to tackle the guy off of Dederick. Like, he'd like to almost, if he can go high, like, almost jumping clothesline him to bring the black bag gotcha. Holder down.
Okay, I need you to roll me, please, a dexterity and athletics check. Because as you come barreling at this guy who's got the black bag, one hand comes around with just a fucking honking big pistol. He fires a shot at you as you leap.
Ooh, I got no successes.
So the bullet catches you in the chest with enough power not to, like, stop you midair, because guns don't do that, but... it punches through you, and you, again, because you're like a weird immortal type dude, it doesn't hurt, it hurts, but it also just, like, you feel the bullet travel through you, and you feel the trench it left, and it's an uncomfortable sensation that causes you to miss him. So you overshoot him. You're now behind the black bag guy. You're between him and the van. You hear the guy in the van be like, "You can't fucking open fire, man! Oh man, we're fucked!" He leaps at you with the stake and the hammer. Everett, you come rushing in just behind this. You hear a gunshot and watch Ridley go down. You then see a man with a mallet and stake leap out of the back of a car as someone with a gun starts to train it on Ridley. What do you do?
I'll draw my weapon. I have celerity, so I can, I get plus, sorry, I...
And sorry, Ryan, that was three superficial to you.
Great, and I'm assuming overnight we healed the other damage we'd been carrying over?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
So I can do things like reloading and readying a weapon for free.
Sick.
So I think of that as just being like a quick on the draw.
Yep, totally.
I don't know if Everett knows that in this instance, stakes are more lethal than guns. So I'll fire on the guy with the gun, because I think that's just...
That makes sense. Cool. So go ahead and roll, please. It's dexterity resolve. We haven't shot anyone in a while. So
firearms.
One moment. Oh, yes. Sorry. Firearms, it is firearms.
I would assume.
It's firearms and composure.
Firearms and composure. Okay. So 200.
How well can you stay in that Weaver stance or the Dirty Harry, depending on how Everett shoots?
Or the Rick Grimes, where for some reason you hold your arm up and then you point the gun down.
Yeah. Or Max Payne, where you jump sideways and your coat flutters in slow-mo.
Guys, I fucking love Max Payne.
Oh, that's really good. One, two, three, four, five successes, and they're all sevens, which is weird. I just noticed.
Okay, so you do Final Fantasy VII level luck damage. It's to Ryan's point about Max Payne, it's just one of those perfect slow motion pieces. Also, I think Miles is acting it out. It's the perfect slow-mo draw and shoot. But I'd also say that in the same way that Iris is starting to realize how her vampiric powers work and you're starting to, like, strength your way out of things, you start to realize that, like, you were always a pretty quick draw, but with celerity, it is like time has slowed down. Like, these people aren't moving... They're moving comically slowly for you. So you blast the forehead and top of the head off of the guy with the pistol, who suddenly time speeds back up. He falls backward. The gun clatters to the ground. You just hear from inside the hood, like, you see like a classic comic, like, patting. Dietrich pats himself down, like, touches his head with the back, and he's like, "Oh, wow, that was a good shot, whoever." And then he just kind of gives thumbs up in two directions, neither of which are towards you. And then kind of just awkwardly thumbs up around in the hopes that whoever did it sees it. Iris, you come tottering across the street. There's two gunshots, and you can see people in the street starting to panic. You can either go and try and help them, or you can try and allay the panic. You get these flashes with your sort of sight of red and blue lights. You look around and you don't see any cop cars, but like you can definitely tell that's a very real possibility. What do you do?
I'll probably allay the panic because that's what's probably going to call the cops.
Okay, how do you think you can... Again, it's outside a bar. I mean, we live in a part of town where, like, we hear random things pop off in the middle of the night. We're like, maybe bad? What do you do to try and calm the crowd? Keeping in mind that even though you can't lean on your celebrity anymore, your Toreador abilities are still in effect.
I'm probably gonna, like... try to distract and lead people away from the alley and act like a really drunk chick and just start complaining about kids popping off firecrackers in the alley.
Okay. Can you roll me
a sexy firecracker lie check?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be performance rather than persuasion, because I feel like Iris likely has the same amount of disdain as Megan Miles does for, like, "But I'm a sexy baby." So it is a performance, because this isn't a thing that comes naturally to you. And we'll definitely say manipulation, because... Oh. Yeah, manipulation.
Greetings, children of the night. It is I, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. I used to host Blood and Syrup, but now I spend all of my time in the Dum Dums and Dragons Patreon. Yes, for just the cost of $1, you can join the Patreon, get into the Discord, and talk to other fans about everything that's happening in your favorite shows. Alternatively, at higher levels, you can get ad-free feeds. You can add names and locations to the shows, or at the $25 level, you can even create your own NPC of darkness, or light, or whatever various lighting solution you want. You create your character, and they appear in one of our shows, causing all forms of shenanigans, and your name ends up in the credits. It's a pretty sweet deal. In any case, join our Patreon of darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the dumbverse.
Three successes.
Okay. What occasion do you give as an excuse as to why people would be firing off firecrackers?
Saint Bastille Day.
Wait, Saint Bastille? Okay.
Yeah, that's Saint Jail.
there's a drunk lady yelling about a fake holiday. She's doing great.
Admittedly, okay, so you start yelling about Saint Bastille Day, which is very good.
Prince Thomas.
Hey, no, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
I need a choice. Go with it.
I am. I'm processing it right now. Just give me a fucking minute here.
That's Iris yelling at the crowd.
Yeah. Tonight, I've had babies stolen. Babies that did not exist until certain dice were rolled badly.
I didn't choose to steal the baby.
And I didn't choose to have to fucking narrate it, but here we are. Iris, you start yelling about St. Bastille Day, and not unlike people being like, we need to get our V for Vendetta masks ready for Guy Fawkes Day, people are like, oh shit, that's tonight? And immediately, like, someone, like, runs into a convenience store and, like, comes back out with a firecracker and, like, sets it off. People start singing, like, various drunken songs, like Old Anxine is being sung. But you get people whipped up into a frenzy that they missed a chance to celebrate St. Bastille Day, so they're really into that, which provides enough cover. You rolled very well on a generally hard-to-cover plan, but also drunk people do like to fire firecrackers, we've learned from our neighborhood, where, like, last weekend wasn't a holiday, people were just like, firecrackers. I was like, that's a choice. So great. Fuck, that is very strange. But it works. So St. Bastille wins the day. Meanwhile, back in the alley, Ridley, a scared looking fake Mormon is rushing up to you with a hammer and stake, looking like fairly panicked that his buddy's head just got blown off. But is yelling something to the effect of, like, your dark kind will not succeed on this day, demon.
Ridley is going to, like, summon his inner vampire and like, go paler and kind of, like, the vampire version of hulking out by activating his
toughness. You realize this is the brace of blood and syrup, yes? Yeah, okay, great. As long as we're all in agreement.
But it makes him a little bit hungrier. Blood on that rouse check. And then what he says is, have you read the Book of Ridley, friend? And then what he does is basically lets the guy get close and tries to, with his right hand, grab the guy's stake, and with his left hand, grab the guy's elbow and just direct the stake back into his own chest using vampire strength.
Fuck, man. That's rad as hell. Okay, well, let's roll an opposed check, shall we?
Yay!
And see who wins. Will it be the tiny cannonball of rage? Or will it be the kind of ropey guy that probably won't win?
I'm assuming we're using strength and grapple?
You are correct, sir.
Yay.
I was like, how many hunger dice do I need? None. He's a human.
Be hungry.
I just wanted to go to White Castle.
Four in Montreal, with two tens, neither on a hunger dice.
Just a regular critical success, like a fucking pleb.
Yeah.
Well, I got a 9, 8, and a 6, and a 1, so not enough. Better than expected, but not enough. So you drive the stake backward into him, and his eyes go wide, and you think you hear him mutter something in Latin just before he falls backward dead, and then you hear Dederick say through the mask, yeah, and also read the blog of Dederick, jerk. And then he like crosses his arms in a kind of like we did it way, but he's facing the wall.
Is there anybody driving the van, Tom?
Bag is still on his head. 100% is still on his head. No, you get the sense that this is a two-man crew.
Oh, that's nice. And then he leans down and he opens one of the Mormon guy's eyes. And he looks into him. He's, just in case you don't know before you go, the only commandment of Ridley is get fucked. and then he pushes the stake a little harder and throws his corpse in the van. He says, okay, let's get the other one. Let's get him. And then we can go pick up fucking Lilleen and get the fuck out of here.
You just hear like explosions from the street, and someone who sounds distinctly like Iris leading the crowd in a drunken crowd song. Miles, Old Bang Zion has been spoken for. What song are you leading the crowd in?
Frère Jacques.
The battle hymn of Saint Bastille. So there's just like hardcore Frère Jacques. Someone is like, my brother's name is Jack. Yeah, you come back out to see like Iris just kind of like conducting the crowd. Iris, you see them over your shoulder. Ridley's shirt is soaked through with a bullet hole. You shrug because that's business as usual, you rush around the corner to meet him. So you throw the two bodies in the back of the truck. You debag Dederick, who kind of like blinks against the light, he just says, "Oh, thank God!" And you realize he isn't talking to any of you. He's talking to his phone, and he rushes over and he picks it up, and he's like, "Wow, Otterbox is really. I mean, they're expensive, but like this really." Oh, thank God it's safe. Oh, also, hi, thank you. Well, that was weird, right?
Yeah, it wasn't great. Why don't we get in a van and go for a ride in case these two idiots had any friends?
Oh, hey, yeah. You guys aren't going to try and kill me, though, right? Because, like, twice in a night, that's a lot. And also, I got a thing I got to get to. There's but yeah, okay, as long as you're not going to kill me.
And Ridley, like, looks to Iris and is, like, not quite sure.
Wait, we're going to be your friends? She does the talking normally.
Yeah, no, we definitely will. Speaking of that thing you need to get to, where do you need to get to tonight?
Oh, it is, okay. So my name's Dederick, by the way. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for that.
I'm Lurleen.
And he kind of looks at you and he's like, are you?
Lurleen.
Okay. Is it Lurleen Dunn?
No.
In the background in the van, Ridley's just pulling his jacket off and then his shirt off over his head like a little kid getting a little bit stuck.
Sure. And so he just is like, okay, Lurleen. And then he tries to wink Lucille Bluth style, but he's one of those folks that can't. So instead he just blinks kind of knowingly at you. Iris, to your great... the Toreador in you is somewhat fascinated, but the artist in you is vaguely appalled. You realize his sweater is a shark sweater. So it's a gray sweater, and there's a single dot on his shoulder, and then kind of a ring of red, and then like a frill of white teeth. He's just like, okay, well, Lurleen, I'm a huge fan of someone who isn't you. But might be you, but isn't you.
Heard my karaoke at the bar, right?
Oh, you mean, were you leading the songs? Frère Jacques?
Yeah, but like, I do karaoke at the bar I work at. So you...
Oh. No, I more so meant your award-winning books. I was a huge fan of you as Poet Laureate. I thought it was, we should just get in the van, right? Oh, who's the shirtless guy? Hi, shirtless guy. Okay, let's get in the van. And then he like hops up kind of excitedly.
Yeah, Ridley is now stripping the shirt off of the guy whose head got blown off because it has less blood on it than his current shirt.
It admittedly is two sizes too small, so it's going to have that classic like button stretch. But yes, it'll do.
I think The sleeves won't work at all, so he rips those off. But then he puts his jacket on so no one can see. So instead, now he looks like a priest who grew two sizes that day under his jacket.
Iris, can you roll me a persuasion and charisma check? You're pretty sure Dederic recognizes you, but you might be able to convince him otherwise. You're also worried that he clearly lacks discretion, so...
That's what I'm trying to do.
I know, that's why I'm making you roll dice. TTRPGs.
Charisma?
Yes, that is persuasion and charisma.
Four successes.
Okay. He notices you do like the drunk girl scurry to the back of the car, and you can see kind of what I think Iris had imagined would be the ideal outcome of this disguise, which is like a look of genuine, like, I can't imagine Iris Dunn walking like that though. And he's like, okay, well, yeah, maybe I saw you do karaoke. Anyway, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you all for stopping. I mean, and you, wow, you're really good. Are you some kind of shootiest? He points to Everett.
No, I'm just the van driver, and I'm just driving.
Cool. And he's like, oh, great. Okay, listen, so it's so good that you, and then his phone buzzes, and he looks at it, and he's like, oh, okay, well, that's guess the joke's on me. Just some of my friends sent these Inquisitor types after me. That's funny. They do stuff like that sometimes. yeah. Listen, Mr. Shirt Guy, you got shot in the chest pretty good, and then you kind of staked him to death. Are you? And he kind of leans in. He's like, "Are you like a whoa? You know, like a whoa?"
Everett, didn't you say that this guy was one of us, or was it? Is this just a? Oh, we may have had a problem with communication here. Well, friend, I suggest you talk to Lurline. Fuck it. And then he's going to try to dominate him to wipe out the last couple of minutes of his memory.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. If he's actively trying to resist, then I have a die roll. Otherwise, it just succeeds.
It is a die roll.
Okay, great. Okay, so it is my charisma and domination versus his wits and resolve. I have one success. And I have a failure on a hunger dice.
You stare deep through his heart-shaped glasses into his eyes and begin to try and dominate. You usually talk to people during this, right? Like, do you... I forget how we've established this looks for you.
I think he starts a conversation usually to get close, and then he just tries to put the whammy on him. Like, I feel like sure. It's just that, like, oh, that's fun, and then he just, like, turns away and looks back, and his eyes are really wide, and he's right in their face.
Yeah, and Dederic's eyes just get, like, really wide, and, like, he moves in, too, and you just, like, sit there staring directly into each other's eyes for a minute. He's like, oh, cool, okay, so you are, like, yeah, me too. Me too. You're trying to make me forget the thing, right?
You've got to open with the fact that you're one. If you're asking if someone else is,
well, hey man,
against masquerade.
Look,
masquerade's a fucking mess for a conversation, isn't it?
Honestly, it is. The Camarilla guy, Camarilla.
It's Camarilla, but what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, okay, sorry, Lurline's telling me to speed up. Look, they're kind of pricks, but they also kind of run things. So, you know, you kind of have to just do what they say. And sometimes they send the Inquisition after you for the lols. And, like, it's cool, though. It's cool. It's cool because, like, they're my friends and stuff, I guess. But
yeah, they're sort of like Amazon.
Yeah, kind of. Like, I don't feel great ordering these dope sweaters from them, but I also need them quickly, and I don't like paying for shipping or going to stores because I'm, you know, yeah, I get it. Anyway, they're kind of a necessary evil-ish. It would have been a masquerade breach. Also, those guys were trying to stake me, so I was just kind of worried because, you know, like, vampire, they're going to kill me, and I don't know, you could be them. I don't know. It's been a big night, and honestly, I've got this gig to get to. So anyway, yes, I'm kindred, you're kindred, are they? And he points to Everett and Irvine.
Oh, yeah, everyone in here is fucking dead.
Oh, great! Hey! Okay, fantastic. Listen, if you don't mind, I am starving. I nommed some biscotti earlier and then had to throw it up around the corner. That's why I was leaving. So I'm just going to take a quick, and he just kind of like tentatively leans down and starts like pops his fangs. And then just like, you notice he like tries to find a good spot on the arm. He's kind of like, okay. And then just kind of like bites in, and he, a little bit like whenever Ripley, our dog, like finds a toy and is like, I can do this. And he just kind of like stares at you guys, vaguely embarrassed, being like, I'm sorry. Just, it's been a weird night. Okay. Okay. I think I'm good. Oh, Inquisitor blood. It's good stuff. So you saved my life. That's great. What can I do you for? Also, I'm really sorry about the Iris Dunn thing. You just look so much like my favorite poet. Like, it's been a lifelong dream to meet her, and, like, I kind of thought you were her, but that was just me projecting. So, I'm sorry, Lurleen, and I would love to hear you do karaoke sometime.
Yeah, I'll give you the time.
Great. He, like, opens an app on his phone and just... He's one of those guys where you say you want to schedule something, his calendar's open. He's like, all right, great. When?
Next week, Thursday at 6.
Oh, okay. Just entering that.
So I just need to... Just curious about where we need to take you for your next little engagement.
Well, thank you for asking. That's very nice. Listen, there's this performer. I mean, you've probably heard of him. He's pretty important. But his name is the Satin Prince. And I don't mean to brag, but I know where he's going to be partying tonight. Because I'm a bit of a... Bit of a club guy. I really like the club scene. I mean, you know, you're all like me, and you got to find something to enjoy. I mean, from the looks of this fella, it's you know, punching. And from the shootiest up front there, looks like it's, you know, gunslinging. He's like, are you from the Old West? What's your deal? You sound like a cool cowboy.
Just driving the van.
Cool. Can you tell it to giddy up?
Yes, I can. Where are we going, sir?
That's fair. the Satin Prince, who's you know, he's like us. So I really want to meet him. He's been around for a long time. He's going to be partying at this club called Divine Damnation. It's admittedly a bit overdone, but it's a theme club. It's very, very popular. Him and his entourage are going to be there tonight. And I have been following this guy's tour, and I managed to like help the bar get in touch with him, did all this stuff. And you know what? Those jerks wouldn't give me an invite. So I really want to meet him and get a photo. It would really help bump my blog up a bit. You know, the deadheads, that's what my fans call themselves. Like, I think it's embarrassing, but like they insist. But the deadheads would really lose their minds if they could just get a photo, if they could just see me like hanging out with the Satin Prince. So that's where I'm going tonight. I mean, you guys can come with me if you want. We could try and get in together. Do you guys want to meet another kindred?
Oh, I'd love to meet him. And Ridley's just like doing his like ready to break some necks.
Oh man, this guy's gonna kill that guy. That, don't try and kill the Satin Prince. Am I right? Kidding, but also not kidding.
No. I just want to have a nice conversation about some mutual friends.
Oh, that's cool. Oh man, I'd love to have mutual friends. Okay.
Maybe you and I could be mutual friends. I think that's something we could deal with. You seem like a useful friend to have.
Well, that's lovely, man. Yeah, I'd love that. Cool. Well, yeah, if you guys want to come, we could all try and get in together.
Fabulous. Now, could you help me with my hair? Because yours looks fucking fancy as hell, and mine's just fucking smoosh.
He looks at your hair and he's like, I can try. You know what? I think you look great already.
Oh, well, thank you. That's great. Yeah.
He fails his subterfuge check. He's like, I can try. And then he looks to Iris because you're the only other one back there. And he's like, could you help? Do you think? Maybe we could tag team this? Put some of that cool karaoke. I mean, your hair looks great. We just, you know, just got to help him.
Sure.
So, Iris, do you think you believed in karma as like a real thing or as just like a general idea?
No, she believed in it.
Okay, cool. It's always nice to have your beliefs validated. And after having been made over twice by Ridley Beef, you and Dedrick crack your knuckles, similar to how he just did, and proceed to give Ridley Beef a back of a van hair makeover. Megan Miles, what do you make Ridley Beef's hair look like?
Oh. Probably a flock of seagulls.
That's also where my head went. Dedrick, also having a very specific style of hair, is only really familiar with how to do that. So incidentally, he's very good at it. And so the two of you go to work. And really, this is a strange sensation for you. Also, you got a bullet hole in your chest, which kind of sucks. And that's kind of starting to patch itself up and feels weird. But also, you've just it's been a long time since anyone worried over your hair like this. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, this is what I do you know, this is nice. This is one of those things that I used to do. 5 days a week, I'd go into the bar. He's that guy who just like talks too much while people are doing his hair. He stacked the two corpses under him, so he has that sort of like his head can lean back. And he goes, like, 5 days a week, I used to go to the barber shop and I'd have them touch up my hair and shave my face. And I mean, I don't have to shave my face anymore because I'm fucking dead. But it's nice to know that you can enjoy the little things. You know, everyone goes, well, it's so bad you got to eat other people and hang out with corpses. And what I'll say is a nice chair and a good haircut will fucking do your body right.
And Dedrick is like all in on this. He is just one of those people who is so curious to hear this like rambling story and is just chiming in with like, but like, what is it like getting a shave? I mean, also like when are you from? Are you from like now times or like old times? Like, we talking like Sweeney Todd haircut or like modern haircut?
Well, I mean, it was like an old time haircut in a modern place.
You know? That's exciting.
There's a whole fucking selection. There's hundreds of years of history.
Always wanted to go to London. Iris.
And unsubtle racism.
Are you chiming in on this at all, or is this just your hell?
Hell.
Great. The conversation is bad, but it is nice getting to the flock of seagulls. And by the end of it, you are sufficiently pleased with your handiwork. Everett, I assume you're just driving the van, trying not to think about any of this because you're still racked with guilt about, the baby napping. Just as you start to pull up to a club with a line around the block, you know, it's clearly a busy spot. Iris, you and Dedrick, your masterpiece is complete. And you both kind of stand back and look at Ridley. And he says, honestly, this might be my masterpiece. And then he looks to you, Iris.
Yep.
And with that, you boot open the door, and the new Ridley Beef makes his public debut.
This episode of Blood and Serum features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter, that's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And and our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Ah, ah, ah. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.